Good evening and welcome to the Town of Discovery Bay Wednesday, February 19th, Board of Directors meeting. You're all looking at me, okay. Did you want, would you do the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Please.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Roll call, Todd. Roll call's been taken, but the record show all members are present.
Excellent. And we are now going to have public comment. And this is a time that if anyone would like to speak for up to 3 minutes on any item that is not on the agenda, we ask that you come up to the podium and give us your name. And again, it's 3 minutes. And we do have a request tonight from Richard Palmer, who would like to speak.
I am here. Little different meeting than we had last time with standing room only. I live in a different generation. I have to explain my SRO meant to somebody younger than me the other day. Standing room only. So I'm here to talk about the landscaping project that we all talked about a month ago. Well, you're right. It's done. I think you guys accomplished what you wanted to do, and you got it done before the heavy rains. So, I do want to say a few things. And first of all, let me tell each and every one of you, I appreciate what you do. This is a thankless job. And we elected you to do, and you stepped forward to do a thankless job. So I appreciate what you do, and it is hard. I think I mentioned before, I'm a retired fireman. 28 years of the San Jose Fire Department, and a lot of those years I was involved with the local 230 union and the negotiations with the city of San Jose. Very, very difficult job, very, very difficult time to, it's impossible to keep everybody happy. I do want to say a few things that I'm going to reiterate what I did last time. All we wanted to do was to be part of the process, not to have it rushed, not to have it crammed down our throat. And all we really wanted to do was to have some sort of input of what was going to happen. Discovery Point, where I live across the street from the median, our park, well, now looks like the freeway in Phoenix, Arizona, because it's all rocks. My dog's paws hurt. He's in counseling. One of the things, observations that I talked to the 85 plus signatures that we got last time was, I know you gave us an opportunity to speak, but some people thought you were rude and really not listening to us. A lot of people are really angry and pissed off. And my view is just really extremely disheartening. And I think that's the view of a lot of American people now, because we hire you to protect our best interests. And part of that is to say, hey, give us a voice in what we want done. That's why so many of us have lost faith in our elected officials. You as a town council member, and us as tax-paying citizens, we're your constituents. We deserve a win-win negotiation process. We deserve to be part of that process, and it would be a lot better if you include us.
I'm sorry, your 3 minutes is up.
Let him speak. He could have my time.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Wow, really? That is rude.
Okay. Maybe afterwards when there's questions and answers.
We're going to answer.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Who else would like to come up and speak?
Why, you're not listening. Obviously.
Sir, I'd like to remind you that this is a business meeting, and we certainly hope you will conduct yourself in a manner of attending a business meeting. Who else would like to come up and speak?
We'll get up.
Hi, my name's Steve. Steve Bonice. I've been a Discovery Bay resident since 2010. It's nice meeting you all. I really do like Discovery Bay. It's still, to me, a local, small little town, still. I grew up in, part of my life in Oakley in 87 and went to Liberty to 95. And to me, Discovery Bay hasn't changed that much. You know, we definitely have some more housing here and some. I just wanted to try to see if I could get an answer on regards of across the street from my understanding is that they're building 167 apartments, partially going to be low income. But my question is, if they're going to build 167 three-story apartments, are they going to have an underground parking structure? Where are they going to facilitate all of these cars? To me, in a very small area, to have that many apartments. And then to top it off is the traffic flow that we're going to have. When across the street, we already have a school with kids. And from my understanding, there was an accident not that long ago. Looking at, from my perspective, being a union carpenter for 27 years and understanding infrastructure and how it operates, I don't think Discovery Bay, we're not ready to facilitate that many apartments right now. Let alone we already lost, I believe, the fire department right over here across the street from us. We no longer have it anymore. We only have a sheriff's department. So I'm just addressing the concerns for all of us in Discovery Bay. That's all. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Anyone else?
There's a hand raised.
There is a hand raised?
Yes.
Hey guys, how can you hear me? It's Kirk.
Hello.
Hi guys. A couple things, or two things. One is just addressing the previous gentleman's comments about the development. The crazy thing is that if anything is zoned commercial, then developers can develop low-income housing, and they don't have to do they. There's no checks and balances. That they can just do it. There's no environmental impact report. There's no nothing. So it's, you're right. This is a really sort of bad situation for Discovery Bay. Next topic. I just wanted to let the board know that from the last meeting, I published kind of some notes of the meeting. And on Nextdoor, and it was well received. It got a ton of views. I had like 13 people say thank you, just thank you for for doing this. So I think when we get the new AGM in, I think that would be great to like provide a summary of the meetings. People seem to be very interested, and so that's I would suggest to make that part of the job description of the new guy or girl. And conversely, I published the agenda for this meeting, and I think it got like 1/3 of the views. I don't think people are all that interested in that aspect, but they're interested to hear what happened. So that is my feedback for the board. Kirk out.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Any other hands raised?
There are no more hands raised.
Wonderful. Thank you. Now we will close public comment. And Steve, I think you're in the back there. If you could just stay around for a couple minutes at the end. Okay, now we will go on to item C, the consent calendar.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Couteau?
Aye.
President Graham?
Aye. And now we will go on to presentations, and Anthony from Veolia.
Good evening, Board. Tonight I bring to you the monthly water and wastewater report. We'll start with our safety. We're up to 571 safe working days, covering topics like cold worth weather, customer service, insect bites, things like that, and we only revised our employee handbook, so all of our employees got to read and sign off on a long-winded document that shows what we do every day, so they were excited about that. On the next slide, our water system is doing really well, pretty low usage, pretty slow at both sides of Wellland Newport. That was convenient for us because we did just receive our upgraded sodium hypochlorite tanks holding bigger capacity, and because of the low flow, we were easily able to swap one out, not worry about demand problems, and then we're going to be swapping the one at Well out probably next week. So that will greatly help us in the future by not having to go to two times a week delivery in the summer, things like that. We can keep a steady delivery every week all year, hopefully. So give us a little bit more cushion in an emergency situation too. So absolutely appreciate the staff and the board approving that upgrade, because that's going to help the system. So all the filters are online. C is still offline and isolated until it's removable, and nothing really to show for on the water treatment plant. On the next slide, we're in Newport, fairly balanced out over the year. Hanging in there, and as you can see, we're definitely in a low usage period of the year, so it's pretty normal compared to this time last year. On the next slide, our hydrant flushing. So as we start the new year again, we're still finishing up the hydrant flushing we started from last year. We do have the Newport side of town we still have to get to. We are trying to hold off and let some of the rain get past, let it dry up a little bit before we dump more water in the ground. We don't want to intentionally flood somebody's house or something like that, so it causes traffic problems. Valve exercising is done when we do hydrant valve exercising. So consumer confidence report is pending for the new year. Lead copper sampling was done and not due again until 2027. No water complaints, no pressure complaints, and no violations. On the next slide, all 16 lift stations are active. No problems to report there. Collection systems hanging there pretty good. On the next slide, the wastewater treatment plant. Pretty stable this time of year, because we're still getting some pretty decent rain, still fairly green out there. We are still running the lagoons as low as possible, so if we can handle stormwater, things like that, if we need to. We definitely don't have the risk of overflow like we had last year when it was flooding on, so we're looking pretty good. We've got plenty of room. And y'all's favorite number is still there, but it really don't mean a whole lot anymore. So, or at least it ain't a scare tactic anymore. So, as of January, that's the number. So, you know, go figure. Now that we get the number pulled off the permit, now we're naturally staying under the old limit. That's, ain't that how it works? Anyway, so we're doing pretty good. Nitrates still around 5, which is wonderful. So, that's hanging in there.
Hey, Anthony, does the rainwater affect our wastewater processing at all?
Does it change like the balance?
It can't. It's not, we don't have what's called a combined collection system like some cities do, where the stormwater and the wastewater come into the wastewater treatment plant, and there are cities like that that are incapable to handle that, but heavy flows, heavy rains and floods can affect us, even though we're not combined. So it heavily dilutes the bugs, dilutes our ability to treat, we have to change treatment to keep up with it. The biggest challenge it brings is overflow risk. Most of the time we don't have a problem with the plant itself overflowing, it's keeping the county from overflowing into us. That's what our biggest challenge is. If you look at where wastewater plant 2 sits, where plant 1 is, the wastewater plant's the lowest point in Discovery Bay. Discovery Bay is only 3 foot above elevation. If you look at the river burn, it's quite a bit higher than our thing. So we have a challenge to keep the county flood waters off of us after those farms and stuff like that. It just can't handle it. So far this year, not a problem. No, we've had the rains kind of been hit or miss and not been solid. Next slide. Wastewater flows pretty same all year. What's coming in, what's going out. There's a little bit of differences that you're seeing. We're bringing more in than we're letting out. And that is because we were changing ox ditches, changing trains, and we're able to hold some capacity back without releasing it yet. So we're trying to catch back up. On the next slide, no wastewater complaints, no SSO. We're back to no biosolids hauled yet this year. Lift station cleanouts are start all over again, and we're back to about 10% of our SLRAT inspections for the year. And that's not all. We added one more slide. I know you've heard us talk about SLRAD, and I believe there's not an SLCAT, but there is an SLCAT. The SLRAD is the probe system, or basically a sonar that you'll see us going around through town, lifting manholes, and we really literally send a sonar signal from one probe to the other probe, from manhole to manhole. What it does is it tells us basically the signal strength. The signal received is a very good quality. Collection system's fairly clean. If it's mediocre, we got a mid-grade potential risk. And then if it's very poor reception of that signal, we got a clog. We got a problem. So what this is showing you, and of course the map is much bigger than this, but I was trying to condense it down to at least an overall view for you. But this is what the entire collection system looks like in SLRAD's eyes. So this is the entire, every manhole with manhole colored out. Green is a wonderful color for us, means everything's good. Signals are received. Yellow could be starting to get a little bit clogged, or the signal is possibly a little too far, so it's weaker. The white represents the signal is too far. So what would end up happening is if we get to a section where we can't get a manhole lid up, we often won't just break the manhole for risk that if we pop it out and it doesn't go back in, now we've got a road hazard for traffic, for pedestrians, things like that. So what we do is we report it, let Aaron know we got a manhole we can't get into, and then what we do is we try to shoot the signal to the next manhole. It wipes out when the signal's too far. So what that does is tell us we got to go back to those points, repair that manhole lid, and then re-sonar it. So, and then red is not necessarily a clog or backup. It's just that the signal is very poor. And the red sections, the reason I'm showing you guys this and gaps, is that's the sections we don't take any chances. If it comes back red like that, whether it's legit or not, we go back. We actually send a back truck. We clean the lines out, jet the lines back it, and then we will go back and re-SLRAT to get a better image. So as of the end of 2024, that's the entire collection system, and overall, looking pretty good. There's a couple of hot spots in old Discovery Bay, and we're going to be working with the back truck in those areas over the next couple of weeks. It doesn't take us quite that long to the back truck, but you will see us in that area. So no emergency, no SSOs, no reports of backup. We want to be safer than sorry. So that was kind of what I just wanted to be able to show you guys of what SRF does and what it looks like.
So the weak signal comes from typically too much. There's a clog, so there's not a full open space. It's hitting a restriction, or it's not getting through properly. It doesn't necessarily indicate any breaks in the pipes or that type of thing.
No.
Okay.
No, and it could. The point is what SRF does is most systems don't use SRF. It's fairly new technology. They just do old school CCTV in the back. The thing is, CCTV in every single line, every manhole gets very expensive and it's very time consuming. And over time, if you've got corrosion and things like that, you can actually damage the collection system. So what we do is use the SRF as the overall sonar. And then that tells us the hot spots to pinpoint with CCTV and cameras and all.
You'll bring us an update on this.
Next month.
Can I ask, when you do that, would you also bring this map back so we can compare the two?
I can do that.
Okay.
Can I ask another quick question?
Sure.
How often are you doing the mapping of the collection system?
We do it annually for every manhole to manhole annually. And we also do it by a customer complaint. Even if a customer is not 100% sure and they call the town gets called, hey, we might potentially have a backup, we go up there and SRF make sure. I would rather them catch something and us fix it before it actually comes up in somebody's house, right? So we do it anytime somebody pretty much asks town, Aaron, to them, we got problems with tree roots in their area, something like that, let's SRF and get a signal. And if we come back with mediocre signal, we send it back to them.
So, like, doing this, like, where the reds and stuff are now, how long does it take to take care of that?
When we SL red, it literally takes longer for us to get out of the truck and block traffic to pop the lid than it does for us to send signal to signal, so it's fairly quick. When we respond with the back truck, depending on the traffic, if it's Discovery Bay Boulevard, it's a little bit more problematic. If it's generally the cul-de-sacs and stuff like that, it's generally not a problem. It can take us anywhere from 10 minutes to get the truck set up, jet, to 30 minutes if it's really a hassle. But generally,
so it's not like,
it's not all
so it
take
you like
it's
weeks
not,
to fix that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the thing is, if we work it, we can run, if we get to a certain point on like one of the cul-de-sacs or something like that, we can literally jet in most cases from one manhole and go all the way, 300 feet, 400 feet to, with one run. We don't have to backtrack every manhole. So
okay, that makes sense. Right. Thank you.
But I'm
curious, so how does the testing actually work? Yeah, it's a two-person job where one guy's at one manhole, one guy's at another manhole, and he's like, hey, get ready, I'm about to send a signal, or?
The system itself does that. So it knows it's a sender and then it's a receiver. One person's got one of them, one of them's got the other. One is sending the signal, the other one receiving it, and it communicates back. And so, and if something's wrong, you see it on the screen, you can redo it.
And then based on the results, then it generates that back. So.
Yeah, and it also gives us a pretty decent report, but this is the visual version of it, right? So it looks a lot easier. But that's the overall goal, and that's pretty cool. That right there has saved the town a ton of money over the last few years. That's been in the OS contract for several years now. And that has saved us a ton on CCTVs, damaging the collection system because H2S buildup, stuff like that.
That's great.
Just blindly sending the back truck out there and nothing being wrong. So that's a good thing. But now you'll get to see what SRF is when we talk about it.
Director Belcher?
Yeah, I had a question that's not related, and this may have been discussed at a prior meeting since I am new, but on Newport Drive, there's a developer that's pumping out the land in order to access underground facilities, and there's a substantial amount of water that's being pumped. And,
that's pretty much anything we dig in Discovery Bay, we have a problem with groundwater. We're so low and so close to the groundwater table. We I think somebody mentioned a while ago about underground parking, it's not likely to happen. If you can imagine the denitrification project, the Anox zones, those Anox basins are 30 feet deep. You generally get groundwater when you get about 10 feet. So what they're having to do anytime you excavate that is they got to pump and displace the groundwater so that they can that's even worse, more of a problematic. So they've been challenged with that. So they have to discharge that under all the regulations that the town sets for them and the county does. So.
But that's not impacting the water system here. It's not going into the storm drains.
And we keep a close eye on that to make sure it doesn't. If it does and we see it, then it's the first person to know.
Wonderful. Any other questions for it? Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now we will go on to E1. Dina? Are you?
Yes. Okay. So this year, the town of Discovery Bay is constructing a new administrative office building. Given the size, technical complexity, and the cost of this project, it is crucial to establish a team dedicated to effectively manage all aspects of the project to ensure its successful completion. The Oversight Committee will be responsible for reviewing and recommending any future building needs to the Board of Directors. This may involve funding and budgetary consideration, addressing significant design or site work changes, monitoring the project timeline, and fulfilling any other requirements necessary for the successful completion of the admin office building. To establish the Oversight Committee, the Board of Directors will need to, one, create the ad hoc building construction oversight committee for the duration of the new district office building project, and two, appoint two directors, one of which could be Director Graves and Ashley Porter, to serve as the ad hoc construction management oversight committee. That is what's within the recommendation as of tonight. So now it's open for you to discuss amongst yourselves would like to establish it, and who would like to
appeal. Well, I would just like to bring up that while Mr. Graves and Ms. Porter are very distinguished directors.
Well, before we discuss it, we should go to public comment.
Yeah, go
and
to
come
public
back
comment
for
and then come back.
Sorry,
does anyone have any questions on what Dina just explained to us? Is there any public comment? Now is the time. Any questions? There is a hand raised?
Yes.
Okay, we have one person. If you could come up to the podium, please, and say your name.
Brian Elliott. I'm curious, you guys will answer our comments now?
This is public comment on what we're discussing about the ad hoc building construction committee.
So what's new with the building? I haven't heard what's been happening. You guys planning on building a new building?
So public comment is typically, and in accordance with the Brown Act, it's not a discussion with the general public.
They would comment on my question.
No, you're commenting to the board. So the board here is conducting their meeting. You're here watching them conduct business.
Okay.
Then you can comment to them, and during this period, they can take this information and utilize that information in their discussion.
So
I
can't ask about the building then?
You can ask, and then they can take it. It's not a back-and-forth conversation during public comment. That's not how the Brown Act works, nor does that how the district meetings work.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. So I'd like to hear more about the building plans then. It's news to me.
Do we have stuff online about it?
Yes.
If I may?
Please.
Is it okay? So there, it is online. If you go to our website, take a look at it, study it. And if you have any questions about it at that time, contact the town office. It's not that we don't want to give you the information, it's just this isn't the time because it's not an agendized item.
So the plans are online then?
I don't know how much is online because I haven't looked, but do we have any plans on?
Anything that was brought to the board of directors, all plans should be online.
Yeah, and you can go back in previous meetings too, and we have full plans. We have this started years ago, so there's a lot of information in there for you to do, but that would be the best bet.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Kirk?
Hey guys. So just for the previous speaker, I just wanted to say, if you look at the meeting minutes, and there's a lot of them, all the information is in there at some point. So that's a good place to go to find out about the building. We've been working on this for like, I don't know, a year and a half now. As far as the this issue at hand, you know, based on what happened with, you know, Discovery Point and, you know, the sort of the bitterness that has come about because of, you know, the lack of involvement from stakeholders, constituents, neighbors, I would recommend to the board that they include some people from who are not board members to be part of this, so that they can voice you know, their collective views with the building.
All right.
That's.
Thank you, Kirk.
Sure.
Any other comments regarding the action to establish an ad hoc building construction oversight committee?
So we can, are we coming back to the board?
We're coming back to us right now.
So I would like to make a motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Well, I would like to discuss it.
Well, and I'll second it, and now we have discussion. We
gotcha.
We have to have a motion for you to discuss.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm sorry about
that's
that.
That's okay. No
so now the floor is yours, Leslie.
All right. Great. Well, I appreciate that.
Well, you seconded the motion.
I seconded the motion.
It does not go to the vote.
No,
it?
Now it goes to discussion.
Discussion.
Okay.
I thought it was to vote too as well.
No,
right.
Yeah.
So there's discussion on the motion. There can be a call to you know, for the question, which would be vote on the motion. There can be an additional motion. So you have there's many options. Yeah, there's options for you all to conduct business at this point. You
okay.
have a motion that you can vote on. Though. You
okay.
are correct,
okay.
Director Gucci.
Make sure.
Well, I would just like to bring up that there's a lot of committees that are available to this board to sit on, and as the most junior member, I have ended up being without any committee that works, that operates on a regular basis, and I feel like there is no avenue for input from my seat as a director in order to oversee some of the major decisions that are taking place in this town. And while I know that Ashley and Kevin have vast experience in terms of the history of this project and working it, I actually own a lot of commercial property. I've had vast experience in terms of doing construction projects on commercial property. And I believe that I, as a director, would have a valuable input on the sitting on a committee as such. And since I don't have any other committees that that are meet on a regular basis or at all that I'm a primary director on, I would like to be considered as a director appointed to this committee.
So I'd like to give just a little bit of background on all of this to hopefully answer some of the questions. The building has been a point of discussion for close to 10 years. It has gone back and forth. It's been tossed to the curb. I would say even with this board and the previous before that, it's something that has been discussed. So we have been, you know, as a board, and then also as once it got voted down or voted on and then we re-voted on it again, which was like 2 years ago, we made the decision to be a very open process, whether you believe it or not. We presented everything in the Water Wastewater Committee. So if you go back 2 years and look at every Water Wastewater Committee up until recently, you will see the progress of how this building came about, what things we looked at, what decisions we made. We kept the same presentation, everyone, to discuss the pros and the cons and the business needs of each of the items that were brought to the board and brought to the Water Wastewater Committee, because this falls under the Water Wastewater budget. So it's a matter, it went to every Water Wastewater Committee meeting, and then from there it came to every board meeting, was presented at the board meeting, and then the following board meeting was voted on. So it's a process that's been in the works for years. I think this ad hoc committee is mostly to just make sure what has already been approved and agreed on, which is pretty much almost everything. It's not something that's going to change. It's to support staff with anything that comes up from it, from the committees and stuff that have already done it. So just a little background. It's not making any decisions or anything like that. We are a board of five, and no decisions can be made by one or two people. It has to be made by five. And an ad hoc committee is temporary.
Thank you. Brian, do you have any Comments?
No.
No, I would just point out that we don't even, there's not, this will be another non-regularly scheduled meeting because it's only going to be
as
needed, and we don't even know if it's going to be needed, but it just needs to be in place in case it's needed. I don't have any other comment than that.
All right, and with that, we have the motion, we have discussion, and so now let's take a vote.
Director Belcher?
No.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Gouteau?
Aye.
President Graham?
Aye. All right, with that, the motion passes, and now let's go down to E2, discussion of possible action to approve the resolution regarding the Contra Costa County Local Hazard Mitigation Plan.
Yes. In an effort to make the county more disaster ready and resilient, the Contra Costa County Office of Emergency Services, or OES, led the update of the Local Hazard Mitigation Plan. This plan serves as a guide for the county to become more resilient to the impacts of natural, human-caused, and technological hazards. Since January of 2023, the Town of Discovery Bay staff has been collaborating with Contra Costa County Hazard Mitigation Planning Team to aid in the development of the county-wide local hazard mitigation planning process. This initiative began with a multi-agency coordination meeting held across the county. Throughout the process, the team worked to fulfill all FEMA requirements necessary for approval. The county team organized and led this effort and consistently submitted local tasks and data to FEMA for review and feedback. This five-year plan requires working with cities, special districts, and county departments across three main areas: hazard identification, mitigation and action planning, and public comment and outreach. Local governments, including special districts seeking a plan approval, are responsible for participating in the planning process and meeting all the requirements. Those requirements are: 1, local annexes are not officially FEMA approved until it is adopted locally and confirmation of adoption is submitted to FEMA. 2, all local annexes must be adopted by September 18th of 2025. The day the first annex was adopted. Adoption steps should follow standard practice for your jurisdiction and agency. So whatever we do in Town of Discovery Bay, we follow those processes. Since the town is part of a multi-jurisdictional plan, adoption document must be submitted to the county OES for submission to FEMA in order to receive official FEMA approval. So next step is asking the board that FEMA has issued an approved pending adoption letter, meaning that local adoption by resolution is required. A resolution has been prepared for board approval and is provided in the board's agenda packet.
Excellent. Thank you. And now, do we have any public comment? And with no public comment, no hands raised?
Oh,
all right.
A hand raised now.
We do have a hand raised, okay.
Yes, who?
Hey, Kirk.
Hey, guys. So, you know, given the kind of status of where the government is and how they're hemorrhaging people from FEMA and all other kinds of agencies, you know, what is the cost of this? Do we have to do this? Is it really in our benefit? And I must admit, I really haven't read this thoroughly, so I don't know. But those are kind of the questions that are going through my mind at this point. That's all.
Thank you. All right. With that, we'll bring it back to the board. Any discussion?
I would just make the comment that, you know, after reading all 250 pages word salad, I can see why now there's being some cuts in our government right now, because I'm reading this trying to find, you know, the juice at the end of the squeeze, because there's not a whole lot here for me. And Dina, you were very involved in this. I mean, as a town manager, after going through all this, do you feel that we are accomplished a greater sense of, I don't know, security? I don't want to put you on the spot.
To piggyback on what he's saying, I just wanted to hear what your takeaways were. Totally on the whole.
It took many, many, many hours. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of work. If FEMA stays in existence, you know, we needed to do this to be able to get FEMA funding if we do have a natural disaster or something like that. This is not the same as our Town and Discovery Bay emergency response plan for our water and wastewater infrastructure. So we do have those plans in place. We will follow those, but this is at a different level. This is more high mitigation.
But ultimately, if there is some type of natural disaster or something that falls in line, you're going to take your guidance from the county.
Correct.
As far as where our next step's going to be.
Contra Costa County is our emergency services.
So they're going to open up this manual and go to page 105 for the earthquake and go down through.
Or the tsunami.
Or the tsunami.
And with that being said, if we do not submit this and something happens, we are not eligible as a special district for any FEMA funding if FEMA is still alive in a year or two.
That is correct. And also, our participation is required now for the entire 39 cities, towns, special districts that started this to get FEMA funding. So we're all locked in together.
So we don't want to be that person that doesn't participate.
Doesn't,
correct.
Yeah, exactly.
And makes it bad for everybody.
Yeah, and it is updated every 5 years. So this was our first time ever doing this, so it took a lot of work. I'm assuming the 5-year update would be review and update, but I don't know if the requirements are.
How many hours do you think it took you to do this?
I've been working on it for a few years.
Yeah.
So it took many hours. So
and we're a small staff of.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And that was some of my concerns and some of the feedback I gave to Contra Costa County as well, is that special districts would like more support to help us get through these. So.
But it's complete at this point.
It is complete at this point, yes.
But I noticed Record Hunters is not referenced in here. So they didn't participate?
They did not.
So if they don't
They're not a CSD.
They're not a CSD, okay.
They're not a governing agency. They're only responsible for.
Understood, but if we're talking about disasters, I would think that Reckon would be.
I'm sure they have their own mitigation and disaster relief plan,
yeah,
and what they would do if the levee failed, because that's their responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw you reference them a few times, but yeah, this was mainly our plan. So. Okay. All right, any other questions?
I want to say. I did not read all 150 pages, and I'll admit that right now.
250.
And, or however many there are. But I will say that great job getting this done. I know you started it years ago, and you got to the end, and before the deadline. And so, great job. And
seriously.
We appreciate your hard work.
Very much so.
And I'd like to say, it sounds like you made some valid points to the county about supporting us, which ultimately we need, because we really only handle water and wastewater, and county handles everything else. And so, you know, a little support would be great.
All right, with no other questions, do we have a motion?
Motion to accept the report as presented to the board.
I second that motion.
Is that good enough?
You have to print the resolution.
No, you have to.
Hold on, let me go. Okay, I would, sorry. Where's the?
It's right there.
There we go. Okay, thank you. I would move that we approve resolution number 2025-02, Contra Costa County Local Hazard Mitigation Plan, which is kind of what I said, but without all the fluff.
I second that motion.
Okay. Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Gutteau?
Aye.
President Graham?
Aye. Okay, manager's report? General manager's report?
Not this evening. Thank you.
Legal?
I have no report other than working with staff in anticipation of the town hall meeting or the board workshop.
The board workshop, yes, okay. And we did have the minutes from two meetings, the Aviation Advisory Committee and CC, SDA. Any questions on those? Future agenda items. And with that, we'll adjourn the meeting at 7:45 p.m.